Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screen Junkies Movie Fights, powered by the Popcorn Talk Network. Now your host, Andy Signor.
Hey, Screen Junkies, welcome. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and you're here watching movie fights. How exciting. You're either getting ready for the big game, or you don't give a crap about the big game, and hopefully you're watching us instead.
Sports ball.
Either way, welcome. I'm so excited. This is such a fun week. There was a lot of big news this week, so I'm glad we had some stuff to talk about. Obviously, at the end, actually, we have a couple. I'm going to tease a couple things at the very end, so stay tuned. Next week's movie fights is going to be a big one. I'm going to tease this week's Honest trailer, so stick around to the end. You'll get some teases. Also, big news, a Fantastic Four trailer dropped, Ghostbusters cast, the Indiana Jones reboot with Chris Pratt. We're going to go through all of that. As always, if you don't like a fight we're talking about, bottom right corner on YouTube, you can skip ahead to the next battle. So please just fast forward. Don't leave. Also, I have to thank our friends here at Popcorn Talk Network, Schmozno Podcast Network, all those guys. I love all the shows, the channels that they're bringing us. We're so happy to be here. We're so happy to be part of the family. Please check them out. Links in the description below. And obviously, also, we're also on YouTube. I'm sorry, on iTunes. So be sure to subscribe to us there. Comment, rate, all the things that you do on iTunes. Now that that's all out of the way, let's meet our challengers for today. You know him from Honest Trailers. He writes the game trailers, the regular trailers. He writes a lot of stuff for us over here. It's Spencer Gilbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me back, Andy. I don't care what these two were saying earlier. You're a great judge and a handsome man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Steady, someone's calling me, so I'm turning off my phone. Next to him, we are so happy to have her here. It's Alicia Malone from Schmozno.
I'm really nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
I'm a terrible debate, so I don't know what I'm
doing. These two guys are only like the most aggressive, meanest fighters we have.
I'm the underdog.
She was great on Screen Junkies already.
I'm the little Aussie battler.
You're going to kill it. I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah,
no mercy. I'm rooting for you. Okay. I'm not allowed to, but I am.
It's movie fights, not movie friends.
That's right.
Next to her, you know him, you love him. He's Nick Mundy's mortal enemy, and he's from iMockery.com. Is it .com?
Yeah.
And YouTube.edu. / Roger Barr.
It is an education, actually. Yeah. Thanks for having me back, man. And, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Just because you're not Nick Mundy doesn't mean I'm against punching you. So. Just letting you know.
You will punch a girl.
I'm sitting in Mundy's seat right now, which is weird. There's like this weird like stench of failure in this seat. So I don't know.
Tweets are coming. It just feels wrong.
It just feels
wrong. Can't wait for the barrage of tweets Sunday responding to that. And on the couch, it's the Dan Cam. He's been out for a while. He's back in. It's our undisputed champion of movie fights.
Oh, I dispute it.
Dan Merle. Now, Dan, welcome. Now, to be clear to the fans and to you, I want to make sure you're up on this as well. We've now, you won a battle.
Yep.
Last week, Comic Book 19 won a battle. Winner of this battle and Comic Book 19 are going to take you on. Mm-hmm. Not next week. We have a different special fight next week, which we'll hype at the end. But the week after, he's going to put the belt on the line, so one of you could be wearing that belt, is what the moral is here.
I want that belt, even though I suspect that he showers with it.
To be fair, he had it in the car, guys. We made him bring it out. He's not that.
We're moving.
Oh, did you saw him last episode? Look, the smug look on his face.
Well, I had to intimidate Mundy. I was trying to throw Mundy off his game, and it worked.
So. I don't know. I think you're pretty proud of that, man.
He is very proud, and you guys will be too if you win it, so let's get to the battles and see if you got a shot. I'm excited. Let's start it in the great words of William Wallace.
Will you fight?
That's a pretty good
one. That's a good one.
The music
Thank you, Mel, for the intro. Great.
It's good to start with Mel Gibson. All right, the first trailer for Fantastic Four dropped. Finally, there has been so much like drama and things surrounding this movie. We finally got to see they're actually making a movie. It's not a train wreck. They shot a movie. I think some of the news made it feel like they weren't even really able to make a cohesive movie. So it's finally there. We got our first taste of it. Question number one, round one. John, I can't say that right. Kikianis. John Kikianis. I apologize.
Quinones.
Just because of cojones.
He asks on Twitter, did the Fantastic Four trailer get us excited about the new movie? Did it do its job? Spencer, starting with you.
Yes, it did get me personally excited. I think you mentioned that before, how everyone's expectations could not have been lower. I was not excited for this movie until I saw the trailer. I don't think Josh Trank's mother was excited for this movie until the trailer came out, and it showed us a couple things that are pretty interesting. Number one, it's not a found footage movie, which people were worried about. Mm. You know, everyone thought it was going to be Chronicle 2.0, and it looks cinematic. That's something to say. It
looks like a movie.
That's really making it strong.
That's something to say.
Like a professional
okay,
movie.
Okay, moving on. The cast is sneakily amazing. Seeing them all together, you've got, like, Michael Jordan coming off of Fruitvale Station, Kate Mara from House of Cards, Miles Teller from Whiplash. Like, these are the best four young actors in Hollywood, you could say right now. You could make that argument, and seeing them all together,
yeah,
one could say, seeing them all together is pretty exciting. You know, this bleeds into the next question, but I like that they're doing a serious take on the Fantastic Four. We've already seen what the silly, ridiculous Fantastic Four movie looks like. It came out in 2005, it was called Fantastic Four, and it was terrible. So I'm excited that they're taking this in a new direction.
And Dan, can you fact check, is Josh Trunk's mom actually excited?
I spoke with Mrs. Trank last night.
And she is.
And she's on
Make
the
sure
fence.
She's alive.
She's on the fence.
Oh, she's on the fence.
She's leaning
really?
Positive.
Okay.
So basically, where do you... Yeah, in conclusion, that this is benefiting from everyone's low expectations, but it exceeded my low expectations.
Alicia,
that's exciting.
Where do you stand? Are you excited?
I'm not excited by the trailer. I do agree that the movie looks great in terms of the cast. The cast is great. I like the director. But as for the trailer itself, it is such a paint-by-numbers trailer. I feel like I've seen that trailer so many times with the grim looks and then the narration. I feel like I could edit that trailer. And something that I'm really looking forward to seeing in Fantastic Four is the four of them together. We don't get to see that in the trailer. And I'd love to see them speak as well. I know it's a teaser trailer and there'll be more in the future because it's coming out in August, but as for this trailer, it doesn't get me excited because I just want to see more. Right now, I'm just meh, I'm on the fence about
Miles
it.
Miles Teller mumbles something at the end.
Roger, where do you stand?
I'm not excited about it. The Fantastic Four have always been kind of a meh kind of a group to me in general. I've always felt like there's better versions of each of their characters. Like, Mr. Fantastic, I'd rather see Plastic Man. You know, Wonder Woman is cooler than the Invisible Woman and her invisible jet. I like that more. The Hulk is better than The Thing. I'm just not that...
But
that,
none of those three people are in the same group.
Right, I know, but they're not that interesting even when they're together. They're just not that interesting characters. And on top of it, the trailer, I mean... It's basically Interstellar is the trailer, and I loved Interstellar, but that
I know,
but the trailer there, it's like a carbon copy.
Any sci-fi movie,
they even have like a truck or just some like beat up car driving through farmland with dust scattering up behind it. That is Interstellar. That is absolutely Interstellar. So I don't know. There's just nothing in it that's making me go, oh man, I gotta see it. Plus, we have visual confirmation that the Thing is CGI. I mean, he is CGI there. And the one good thing I can say about the other Fantastic Four movies is that they actually did a pretty good job on the Thing's costume. And I really do.
So do you like that the Hulk is... You don't like that the Hulk is CGI in Avengers?
Yeah, what, you want the plastic costume?
You want Michael Chiklis?
I just want to see a real person interacting with these guys and stuff.
They said that they kept his eyes. That was their big thing.
They kept his eyes.
They kept the character's eyes. Right. He's so expressive
in
his eyes.
I got to see his face. But nevertheless, it's just one of those movies that I'm just not that interested in seeing.
We do know he wasn't wearing pants.
Yes, we do know that.
That was the most exciting part of the trailer.
Yes.
Rocky Dong
out there. And probably the only time we saw them together. All right, so Spencer, thoughts?
Here's what's exciting, though, is that we didn't even know that this was going to be a movie. Forget visual confirmation that the Thing was showing up. We were like, what is this? All we know is that it started late and there were problems and he may have like trashed his hotel room. The fact that this looks like a by the numbers boring kind of interstellar-y thing is a huge win for me, and I'm excited. Like, oh, he maybe might have pulled something off here, and that's exciting.
But I don't think production problems lead to it not becoming a movie. They put so much money into it. It has to be a movie. It's going to be a movie. Yeah. They're going to make something of it. Titanic had massive problems and went on to be a huge hit.
And they're releasing this trailer pretty late, you know, for a movie that's coming out this summer. I mean, that does not show a lot of confidence on their part in what has been filmed and stuff. So,
how many people do we think in the studio were sitting around watching that trailer, giving notes to ensure that trailer...
I think a lot.
Enough.
It's not just me who thinks that there was... clearly a
That's
team
why
of
they went the safe route yeah. with the trailer and just kept it very standard.
They're like, yeah, Interstellar got people excited. Let's just do the same thing. We got astronauts in this movie. Perfect.
And I'm totally fine with that. This isn't Interstellar. This is a movie that no one believes in, and now this has somewhat, maybe, of a chance of being good.
But it's still not exciting.
It's about being exciting about it. Yeah, and that's it's just not.
I'm excited for the underdogs. I'm pulling for it. I believe in this movie.
I'm just curious, do any of you read the comics? Like, who? I know you said you're not a fan. Like, so none of you are actually even hardcore
fans. No one's
fans.
A fan of the Fantastic
Four. So that's why the trailer has to make you excited. It has to make people like me who know nothing right. about the comics excited, and so far it hasn't.
Spencer, any other last points?
You know, I think that you guys are all being too hard on it, that this we really don't know enough yet, and this gave us enough to give hope that this might be a good movie, and that's something.
It gives hope that, you know, it's a movie that you could watch.
Yeah, which is exciting from a movie that you can't watch
when
it comes
out
on demand,
no matter what. Not something you'd want to go see in the theater. It's just not that interesting. It really isn't.
You know, it went from zero interest to 0.1 interest, and to me, that's exciting.
That's not exciting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's exciting. It doesn't sound like even you're excited.
I'm cheering.
Are you arguing devil's advocate on this one?
Yeah,
I think so. You should have stated it at the beginning, at least. I don't think we sort of are an impasse because there's not much more to argue about it. I don't want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But I think what you said, Alicia, was giving me the book. It was so paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Was a very good argument. You were close, but then you lost me. And what the hell's the thing supposed to be if he's not CGI? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Have you not seen the other Fantastic Four?
Michael
did we have the silly Batman and Robin plastic suit?
No, they actually made him look good in those. That's the one part of those movies. Everyone has said it. Yeah, Dan, fact check that.
It's true. All right, well, I think Mark Ruffalo as Hulk looks even cooler. No.
He looked
so does Caesar in Planet of the Apes. Like, I feel like we've gotten to a point where we can make the CGI work.
What the Hulk does, like physically and, you know, just acrobatically jumping over buildings and stuff, is way more than what the Thing ever really does.
This is going to break into our next fight. Yeah. Well, let's save that. So, but anyway, point is to Alicia. Good to see you on the board right away.
There's
your confidence
booster, right?
You're the reason, and again, the justification. You, I don't think they really told us much. It seems like they were, and it was the most bland. Trailer we've seen 100 times. Good points. All right. Round two, keeping the Fantastic Four theme going, which I think now we'll have hopefully a little bit more fight here. Should a Fantastic movie be so serious? It feels like this wasn't on Twitter. It feels like this movie, totally, we've all said it, they're going that serious route, the Nolan approach. Mm-hmm. Is that how Fantastic Four, I know you guys are now apparently not fans of the book, but you know, the comics, but you know enough that he's a stretchy dude, she's an invisible man. Right. We know enough of what the deal is.
Stretchy dude.
Should the movie...
That'd be a better title for the movie, actually.
Stretchy
I'd
dude.
I'd say stretchy dude.
Should the movie be taken so seriously? And we're going to start now with you, Alicia.
I say yes. Even though the trailer didn't get me excited, I like that the tone that they're going for, because of the fact the last Fantastic Four franchise, you have to do something completely different from that. And that just got a little bit silly. It was too much. So now to go to a dark tone, I think that's very clever. Also, that's what Fox does really well. We've seen that with Days of Future Past, and this has the writer from Days of Future Past, to set a superhero world in a more realistic setting, I think is always a good move. I always love that when superhero movies do that. And I love the fact that Josh Trank has said in articles that he is going for more of a Cronenberg feel. So a science fiction Cronenberg movie. So I'm still on the fence about whether it'll be good, but I like the serious tone that they're going for. I think that's the right move.
Roger, thoughts?
No, this is a movie called The Fantastic Four. You cannot have a serious movie about a group called The Fantastic Four. Hollywood is way too focused on basically trying to make the next Dark Knight. They want all these superhero movies to be dark and brooding, but all the comics we grew up on, including the Fantastic Four, were fun. And that the Fantastic Four of all groups should be a fun, silly movie. I know they did a poor job in the previous incarnation, but that doesn't mean with the right director and the right script, it can't be done. But even more importantly, you have like the old Superman movies, like the Christopher Reeve films. Look how lighthearted those were, but they still had some seriousness to them. But they're not dark or anything. And those movies were so much fun. And one of the other things is there's the Roger Corman 1994 movie.
We can't unsee that.
Right. We cannot unsee that. But it's actually better than the 2000 ones, which is sad because it gave us the best depiction of Dr. Doom, and he's constantly clanking his fingers together like a classic comic book evil villain and all. I think we're missing that kind of thing. And One of my favorite things that's ever been said about the Fantastic Four was Norm Macdonald on his comedy album Ridiculous. He does this sketch where it's the Fantastic Four basically arguing about their names.
Where did Mr. Fantastic
come from? Reed Richards get to be called Mr. Fantastic? Because their names are all based on their powers, except for his.
And I'll be Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, and they're like, wait, what? Guess what? You should be Stretchy Dude. Yeah, Stretchy Dude, exactly. I don't know, a group called the Fantastic Four, I cannot take that seriously. You just can't. I'm sorry.
Spencer.
I think it should be serious because you can't unsee what they've done in the past. It is a inherently silly comic book. I'm sorry, but the premise of the Fantastic Four is that the ultimate version or normal is they go on a weird science mission, something happens, and then they all come back with the most random grab bag of powers that Stan Lee pulled out of his acid-riddled mind in the 70s.
Right, and you want to make that serious?
I'm saying that's your only chance. That's your only hope left, is if you make that just kind of the background, and it's really about, you're saying it has bad characters. I think it has bad powers, but the characters are good. You have Reed Richards, who's like this aloof science genius, and he's dating an invisible woman, and she literally feels invisible.
Adopted as well.
And they're this misfit group of teenagers.
Her character is so poorly written. She basically can't exist without Reed Richards. She is not a good
she's like a female icon.
I'm sorry.
I'm not saying she's a female icon. I'm saying they're all these flawed weirdos. And that's a story you can tell whether they have superpowers or whether they're in, you know, Reseda.
The person that everyone loves in the Fantastic Four is Dr. Doom, because no one cares about the Fantastic Four.
They just love his costume. They just love he looks cool and intimidating. I'm saying if you take these characters, you can try to make a real serious movie about them.
Yeah.
And then they fit in Matthew Vaughn's X-Men universe. You can see them teaming up with Fassbender
because
and
McAvoy. That's the thing. Like, Marvel Studios does the funny thing really well, but Fox, I don't think they have that to pull off. So.
Yeah, they can do the real relatable character drama, and I think it's worth a shot.
Is there a, I mean, to me, there's, when I think what you're saying, I think like Batman and Robin, right? To the nth degree of when they go sort of the silly, lighthearted comic book look. Yeah. Like, is there a way to do that that's not Batman and Robin? Like, I'm just curious, like.
Well, I mean, you know, like Tim Burton's Batman. I mean, that, you know, it has like a bit of a dark tone to it and all, but it's still fun. I mean, you know, look what they did with the Joker and all that stuff and Catwoman and everything. It's great. It's a lot of fun, but it's not, you know, just like this dark brooding. We're all so cynical and jaded now that we can't have fun with a comic book movie. All I got to think about is those old Superman movies. Those are like the perfect balance. I'm not talking about like Quest for Peace where it got like totally bonkers or anything
aged
like that.
Now.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, Superman 2, the original Superman, those are fantastic, fun movies.
But they've made three lighthearted Fantastic Four movies, and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
They
want to do something
different. I'm counting Corman.
I count Corman.
I don't know about counting
Corman.
You got to watch that.
Corman,
it never came out officially, right?
The entire movie is on YouTube. The Corman one was made just so they could hold on to the rights. They had no faith in that movie whatsoever.
It was the Spider-Man of its day.
But yes, they made two bad ones already, but that doesn't mean, you know, with the right director and script, you can't make a fun one that's actually good and entertaining. They also had a pretty, the cast was not good for that one. I think the cast on this is a
Where do we think they went wrong with the new ones? Like, what would you guys say? I'm just curious, the two.
They stuck
more
too
ones.
Close to the comic book. They made it to about four astronauts that go into space and get hit by gamma rays and then come back with powers. And they focused on that and them coming to terms with superpowers instead of who these people were beforehand.
I just didn't care about the characters, and I think that's what it comes down to, and I think that's what this movie is trying to do, is to give you the origin story and make you care about the characters.
But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, did they take it seriously in those movies?
I don't think so.
Not seriously.
Do you feel like
I don't feel like they did.
They took it seriously enough. Yeah, they did. They tried the whole
there was
know,
a lot
Bond.
Of jokes.
There
was,
no,
every
they had
single
they,
human
5
torch.
Seconds. He's going, flame on.
Yeah,
flame
exactly.
On.
They embraced some of that stuff, but they did a lot of the serious stuff, like especially the drama between Victor Von Doom and Mr. Fantastic and all that, their previous background and all that. They
Jillian
covered all
McMahon.
That, and then they try and introduce
the
Silver Surfer.
Too ridiculous to
they,
make him the son of a sorceress from Latveria. Yeah, they tone that
they
down like a little bit.
Latveria is in the new trailer and stuff, and they're already
it's
hinting
a link
at
to
that.
Wikipedia.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything.
They're doing it. They're doing it. We know they're doing it. This again. This is just a trailer. They're showing us Interstellar.
You can't deny history.
Yeah.
You can't deny history. It happens. It's on the record.
So, just for my last sake here of trying to divvy up points, what... Because part of me feels like they did take that. Now that I'm replaying it back, right, the new, the old ones did sort of have some fun with it. While they took this... They tried to do what I feel like you're pitching is what I'm just trying to see, whereas I feel like Wait, was it at least you said putting or who said putting them in the X-Men universe?
Both kind of did.
We both kind of that to me is an interesting point of like we kind of probably would prefer that in this day and age for them to be in that sort of tone.
And it makes sense.
Did you or did you dislike the X-Men movies?
That's not, I mean gotcha. I liked the first couple of X-Men movies. We've already talked on the show that I was not a fan of Days of Future Past. I thought it was a little too dark. The only thing I liked
it. I loved
Quicksilver
it.
Was awesome. That was remember we talked about this like that I wanted to see just an entire Quicksilver
yeah,
movie, but
great.
I thought Days of Future Past was not
it's
that great.
Really
it's
clever.
It was a great movie. That was the one fun lighthearted moment in there. And so you can still have a fun lighthearted moment in Fantastic Four, as I'm sure they will, but you can totally see like Miles Teller and James McAvoy working on some science thing going off to get Magneto as Fassbender. Like, they're all the same age.
Showing them all the little kids and all that stuff.
Yeah, like the X-Men. Yeah. I think it's a really good match. Mix and match.
Okay, so calling it, I think it's hard for me to your arguments were pretty similar is where I'm struggling. But I think you guys both won, so I'm giving you both points!
This Monday seat is cursed.
Dan, any thoughts?
Just a little cleanup there. Spencer, you said Stan Lee pulled their powers out of his astral mind in the 70s. It was actually the 60s.
Also, I don't think he ever took acid.
Also, he probably didn't take acid. And you got your superhero origins a little mixed up. The Hulk was hit with gamma rays.
Yes.
Fantastic Four was hit with cosmic rays.
Space mumbo jumbo.
And also, Stretchy Dude, another person who thought that was a good name for Mr. Fantastic, was The Simpsons, because in Treehouse of Horror 10, they all got superpowers, and Bart is the Mr. Fantastic-like character, and he named himself Stretch Dude.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
Good fact there, Dan. Doing your job well.
If there's ever an honest trailers about this, call it Stretch Dude.
Stretch Man. So Spencer and Alicia got points on that?
Yes.
Yay!
Sorry, your arguments, you pretty much teamed up. I'm sorry I didn't pick one. You both said interesting things. Round three. We talked a little bit about this actually in our first episode of Movie Fights, which you haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Go back and revisit. We cast out the Ghostbusters, and I think we were pretty close on a couple of them, actually.
Mundy called it.
Yeah, didn't
he? He got 3 out of 4.
He picked
three
Leslie Jones,
he put,
didn't he?
Ernie Hudson in the Leslie Jones role.
Leslie Jones was in it.
Someone did pick Leslie Jones, whether it made it to the show or not. Someone did actually pick her. Mundy, okay. Anyway, so watch that. You can go back to the playlist and check it out. But we're going to revisit that fight just because now they finally announced it. We got a lot of comments. We're going to do it again. And I don't... Were you here? You were that episode.
Yeah,
you
I was were, way off.
You were way off. So now that we know who it is, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, and Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live... what do we think about this cast? Are we excited, or is this sort of an expected choice? And we're still not excited. We're going to start with you, Roger.
I think it's semi-expected, but I'm actually looking forward to this. I think Ghostbusters 3 was... I mean, it's been in development hell for a long time. We all know that. Bill Murray was never really on board with it. Harold Ramis is now gone. I think the whole project just was going to be awful. So they've decided to just wipe the slate clean and try something different with it completely. I like that. I think people are like too hung up on the fact that it's an all-female cast. Who cares? If they're funny people, it's got potential. If you have a good writer, good director,
you can't be a female
potential.
Ghostbuster.
Right, exactly.
We know they're all men.
That's madness. So, you know, we have that. I think it's premature to write off this movie because we haven't even seen a trailer. We haven't even seen the logo for it. I mean, and
I'm
everyone,
sure it's the ghost holding it.
I hope so. I hope so.
No, but it's a reboot. It's
right. Like, yeah.
A female ghost.
Yeah, female ghost with a dress.
Doing a duck
oh bow. Little bow on her head like Miss Pac-Man or something.
You're coming around. You're excited now.
I'm excited for it. I think we have Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon. They're the ones who have more to prove in this movie because they don't have as much previous work that we're all familiar with. But Leslie Jones was in a Ghost Chasers sketch on Saturday Night Live, and she plays this just person who's absolutely terrified of the ghost. She does not want to be there, and it was really funny. And Kate McKinnon, she's already proven herself to be pretty funny. She did a Justin Bieber impersonation that is just spot on in this Calvin Klein ad. It killed.
Yeah, she's great.
It killed. So I have a lot of faith in these women. I would have liked to see someone like who's not SNL alumni, so a little bit more variety in there. I'll let some of you guys speak out.
Spencer, yeah, you're up. What do you think?
I don't want to see another Ghostbusters, but that's the world we live in, and here it is. And here's the cast, which I'm also kind of mixed levels of excitement about. I really like Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon because I think they're great despite SNL, which has just been in a slump since I was a teenager. I guess everyone says that.
Yeah.
But I think that they are the shining like examples of what can still be good about that show. So it's exciting to see what they'll do with hopefully some good writing and a good director. That's exciting. Kristen Wiig, iffy in Skeleton Twins, but I think she still has our trust as a comedic actress to do whatever.
She was,
and you just gotta
she was great in Bridesmaids. Yeah.
Yeah. My problem lies with Melissa McCarthy. And this is just more of like a personal vendetta. Not a vendetta, that's too strong a word.
Wow.
I just think that at this point, she's Kevin James in a wig. She has just become Madea in whiteface. She is so, her shtick is so old for me, and just, she's gonna ham it up in every scene and try to steal it with like big physical comedy. And I'm so unexcited for that. Because with the other three, I can see how they could kind of map onto other original Ghostbusters. With her, I just don't see how she fits in that dynamic, unless she's Slimer. And I'm excited for everyone except for McCarthy.
Well, it's interesting, too. The plot breakdown of their characters is she's like the one who hires them. Mm-hmm. So it seems like, once again, with her new spy movie, too, she's the wants to be the... Seems like they really are going to play the archetype that she's done again.
From Identity Theft, from The Heat, from everything.
Alicia, where do you stand?
This is why my point is it's completely expected. This cast, as soon as we heard that Paul Feig was going to be directing Ghostbusters, everyone said Melissa McCarthy's going to be in it and Kristen Wiig is going to be in it. And yes, the other two are new to films, but we knew that they would go for SNL alums because that's what they did in the past, in the previous Ghostbusters movie. So absolutely expected. And as you guys said, Melissa McCarthy, we know she's going to do the same thing again. She does the same thing every single time. I think she's funny, but it's just getting really tiring. I prefer that they go for someone completely different, other girls that are up and coming, you know, look to the indies, get some new faces on there, and just completely different to what we expected. This is exactly what we expected.
I love your argument. I want to be clear. Are you? Is that how you feel, or are you playing devil's advocate?
Because I am excited about
the
cast. You
set up in the
cast,
first, just to be clear to the viewers, I want to be fair to her, because so she understands it. Everyone was sort of on the same page.
Yeah.
Are you standing firm? Is that your belief, or are you playing devil's advocate on this?
I'm kind of half and half. I'm excited, but at the same time, I do believe that it's expected.
Right, well, I'm going to
argue expected.
Okay. You're doing your. It's the word. You're doing
gonna
your.
Hold
this
it
is your own. Your own argument. Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. This is awesome. So what do you... It sounds like you're all pretty much in agreement, really. I mean...
Fairly. I mean, you know, like you guys are saying about Melissa McCarthy, she is the one I'm least excited about and stuff. I'm not saying she can't pull off something good, but I would have... I would have liked to see someone else in there. Maybe Emma Stone is someone I thought could actually do really,
like that.
Really
that'd
well.
That wouldn't be expected.
Let's think about it. She was in Zombieland. She had training from Dr. Venkman himself doing some ghostbusting scene. I thought that's perfect. She was great in Birdman.
Yeah.
So someone like her, I think, would have been a really great character to kind of like round out the cast.
Rather
with
than
someone
expected
who's like,
choice.
Yeah, because everyone in this movie so far is a comedian. So I think someone like who's, you know, a little bit more of a grounded actress versus just pure comedy would kind of
exactly
like really round
very good point,
up.
But you're going against your argument
going
that you're...
Her. Yeah. So
are you excited or not excited?
I said, no, I'm totally excited
but
about the movie.
But now we have to convince her to be excited. And with that in mind, I would go for the two SNL girls. Women are amazing. And how can you not be excited about two relative unknowns being handed a franchise that's completely legendary? Like, that's interesting to see what they can do.
Yeah.
I don't think they've never starred in a movie. I don't know if they've been in a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
But these are two people that really have done nothing except SNL. Like, that's interesting.
It's interesting, but it's also the expected choice that they'd go for these comedic actresses. I'd rather see someone...
Of course
someone
they're going to do a comedic
come
actress.
Come on, I mean...
They're going to cast Dame Judi Dench.
What would have been an interesting take? Like, how would you have done the Ghostbusters if that's... What's the unexpected version to you?
I would have loved people like Lizzie Kaplan. I think she's great.
That's expected.
Emma Stone. It's not expected.
Emma Stone would have been surprising. But
people like that who have been working hard in smaller roles and to give them a shot at this big franchise. That's what I wanted.
I think they're already kind of giving people big shots in this, like these two fairly, newcomers from SNL. Ernie Hudson was given a chance, you know. I mean, that was kind of his big break.
That's only
because,
Eddie Murphy backed out.
I didn't know that.
Written for Eddie Murphy, and then he couldn't do it because of Beverly Hills Cop 2, I think, or...
Yeah, but I mean, he worked out great and all. So I I'm totally on board with these
characters.
Can we
all just take a moment to how cool that would have been if Eddie Murphy had been in Ghostbusters?
They wouldn't have cropped him out, that's for sure.
No.
Like, I'm glad he chose Beverly Hills Cop, because that clearly was an important movie, too. But
yeah, I remember Ernie, he did an interview recently about how disappointed he was, because when he took the role, he said, like, his character was, like, really fleshed out and everything, and then when he actually got there and started shooting, he doesn't appear till like, the third act of the movie.
I'm just here for a paycheck. Bye. Yeah.
All right, I think I have a ruling, but Dan, quickly, you were going
to
add something?
Real quick, just to address Spencer's statement, neither Leslie... Well, Kate McKinnon has not been in, like, a major motion picture. Leslie Jones was in top five.
Mm-hmm.
That was Chris Rock's like, movie. Yeah, I guess, movie
you
role.
You ate a whole so, apple pie. That was a, yeah, she's
yeah,
good.
So both of them are pretty much...
That's exciting. Two out of the four Ghostbusters we've never seen
a movie
before.
Big Les was her comedic stand-up.
I mean,
they've
had
little
bit parts.
She's really funny.
Lots of television, but not a lot of big.
Right. And this is a huge franchise. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, though, I have 2 points that I think are another reasons to be excited about Ghostbusters 3. First off, it might bring back Hi-C Ecto-Cooler.
Yes!
If it brings back Hi-C Ecto-Cooler, it will have all been worth it.
Done.
I think we can agree on that.
Yep.
Also, I'm curious to see if they have a Janine in this movie. And if it's played by a guy, I think that would maybe be a good
twist.
Flip. And they could bring Paul Rubens in to do it, because Paul Rubens was originally supposed to play the role of Gozer in Ghostbusters.
Oh,
so I think that would be an interesting, like a little subtle nod to the original one. And we don't see enough Paul Rubens these days, anyway. So
well, for reasons,
or Rick Moranis would be good too.
Bring him back.
He needs to come back in general.
He definitely needs to come back.
The world needs Rick Moranis.
Wow, well, those 2 points really just helped change my opinion. That got me excited. Do you have anything else?
That's not about the cast, though.
Yeah.
It had nothing
to do with the cast. Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yes. That is unconfirmed.
So I got to go with Spencer is where I'm going, just because I feel like your argument on Melissa McCarthy was just too spot on. And anyone who could pull off Madea in Whiteface and actually have me go, that's sort of fair. I got to give it to Spencer for having the balls to just say that out loud. So Spencer gets the point. But you were close there, but it wasn't having to do with that.
Slaughtered it.
I tried.
They better bring back Ecto Cooler.
Yes, they better.
Just one quick thing about Eddie Murphy. And I think we made this mistake on Screen Junkies 2 before. He was never actually set to be in the movie. They wrote it with him in mind, but he was never actually, he didn't back out of doing the movie.
Right.
But isn't it a better story?
He couldn't do it because Beverly Hills Cop was shooting, so he couldn't do it.
I'm finding
that's everything
I read. The information that I have is that...
Internet is
that he was
conflicting reports.
It's always conflicting reports.
But what's cool is he's going to be on the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Did we all hear that?
Ah,
he's finally coming back
to
appear.
Ivan Reitman says he never came up in the casting process.
He's just probably saving face to be nice to Ernie Hudson.
I wanted to believe, Dan.
No,
ruin your fun, Dan.
No, pressure over there. Hashtag dream.
You're ready to believe.
Yeah. But I think that they did reduce the part of Winston after Eddie Murphy.
They did.
He's confirmed that,
But it's not like he was in it and backed out.
All right, round four. We were just talking reboots, right? Ghostbusters are rebooting. Mm-hmm. It's not Ghostbusters 3, which you also called it, technically.
Yeah.
Are they going to call it Lady Ghostbusters? Are they just going to call it... Interesting subject later. We'll figure that out. This brings up a question. Speaking of reboots, Damian Betham on Twitter asked us, what's the best reboot of all time? Which is a tough one. There's a lot. There have been some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with Spencer this time.
There have been a lot of reboots, you're right, and my favorite is The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was the James Franco vehicle, and not the Tim Burton one, and I think that we should judge a reboot on whether it brings something new to the franchise, not whether it was like a faithful remake of the original, and this was a complete reimagining, and a really interesting one, of some good and legendary, but also fairly campy movies, which were the original Planet of the Apes series. So this is something where they took it and completely flipped the concept on its head, so you're actually cheering for apes to murder all of humanity. That's a tough thing for a movie to do. On top of that, they have the only human you sympathize with is James Franco. And that's the only time that sentence has been said in the English language. They got you to sympathize with murdering...
Oh, come on, 127 hours? He was pretty good.
He had his moment, murdering apes and James Franco is a tough thing to pull off. And it's just night and day with the original. It's a really fresh take on the franchise. That's my favorite reboot.
For the record, I think we can all get on board with seeing something murder all of humanity on a movie. I mean, that's part of the fun of movies. Is you can see that.
Dark.
No, I'm saying.
Hold on. Listen, what's your point?
All right. I'm going with the Dark Knight trilogy being the best reboot of all time because he had Christopher Nolan.
It's got to be Batman Begins.
Yeah, yes. Batman Begins, okay. Yeah. Because Christopher Nolan had such a tough job on his hands. Batman and Robin was the previous film, came out in 1997, made $42 million opening weekend, had a production budget of $125 million. So it wasn't a commercial success at all, and it was just ridiculous. I'm sure we can all agree that it just made the Batman character seem silly. Christopher Nolan took it in a completely different direction, grounding him in reality, and he made me believe that someone would dress up as a bat and fight crime. And that made sense. And at the end of Batman Begins, when you see the Joker card, and then they say that, oh, now the villains are going to dress up as well, that made complete sense. And for someone who's not a comic book fan, for me to totally buy into that world is something special. And he not only reinvented the characters of Batman, but he also reinvented the superhero genre from then on. Now we see a lot of movies striving for that dark tone. And I think he did such a great thing for superhero movies. And not only were they a critical success, but also a commercial success as well, the three films.
Wow, Roger, you got a tough one here. That's two really good fights, I'll be honest. Where do you stand?
You're talking about reinventing a genre. I'm going with the 2004 reboot of Dawn of the Dead. This is a movie that really kind of changed the face of zombies for us. We have all these crazy zombie movies in the 70s and 80s where it's basically just, you know, total gore fest with no, like, real story or anything like that, no human drama or anything. It's just splatter. And then the 90s, after Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, it's kind of like a dead zone of zombie movies. There really was not a lot of zombie stuff going on. But then cut to the early 2000s, and you have 28 Days Later and Dawn of the Dead back to back, and all of a sudden everyone is crazy about zombies again, and it's because of that. We get stuff like The Walking Dead because of these movies, and it also introduced so many fun new concepts. My favorite thing in it introduced the best game ever, which is Celebrity Zombie Headshot. In the movie, they have snipers on the roof they're picking out zombies that look like celebrities, and they tell their sniper guy, all right, find the one that looks like Jay Leno. We get a close-up of a zombie. It looks like Jay Leno. His head just splatters. Then you get another one. It looks like Burt Reynolds and Rosie O'Donnell. It's hilarious. So it's a fun, fun movie, and it really got everyone back into zombies.
All right, let's fight, guys.
I'm a red-blooded American. I love zombies, and I love Batman. But both of those things were already really cool before either of those movies came along. You said 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later did come out like a Dan Cam this, but it came out a few years
about
before.
2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years. So that had already made zombies cool in my book.
It was more of an independent film.
28 Days Later did come out before?
28 Days Later came out in 2002, which is 2 years before Dawn of the Dead.
So that's already like, oh, wow, zombies can be cool again.
But to be clear, you just said there hadn't been, so you're wrong.
No.
That's a pretty iconic zombie movie.
You said back-to-back. You said back-to-back. 2 years.
They're pretty back-to-back.
That's like 28 Days Later
came out in the UK. It was an independent film. It didn't have a big budget, and it didn't make a ton of money. It made, like, I think it came, like, to 40, 60, 80 mil, something like that total.
But to people who cared about zombies, it proved that they
reinvigorated. Dawn of the Dead
was the first one that really got audiences way back into it, because that one made like over $100 million and everything and got people excited. It had actual big star power in it, which is very unusual for a zombie movie too. You got like Ving Rhames in there and everything.
Oh, so. Big star power. You got Ving Rhames. Come on. Marcella
Did you
Wallace.
Have something, Dan?
28 Days Later had an $8 million production budget, made $45 million here, made $37 million, and made $85 million worldwide.
Yeah. So really successful.
How much did Dawn of the Dead make?
I'm looking that up right now.
And the production budget
Spencer,
as well.
Sorry, continue.
Okay, but then now onto the tough one, which is Batman.
Yeah, hard one to argue.
It's tough to argue against Batman Begins. It's my favorite Batman movie. Yeah. But Batman had already been grittily rebooted in the comics with like Dark Knight Returns and stuff like that. So you have that to draw from. Planet of the Apes, aside from an amazing twist ending, was campy as hell. It was just guys in these bad ape makeup riding around on horseback, screaming Charlton Heston of "Let my people go." It was dumb. And the new Planet of the Apes movies are cool, and they're emotional, and they're everything that the originals weren't. You can look at the original Batmans, you can look at the Batman comics, and like, oh yeah, he was
awesome. I
didn't
look at the Batman comics, and it got me really into the superhero genre.
But even the first Batman trilogy was very cool.
Look, at least people are still talking about Batman. No one really cares about Planet of the Apes anymore.
What?
I'm sorry. The last movie did not do that great. It just was not very good.
It's really cool. I liked it.
Yeah. I can see the lies.
Is that true?
The lies behind your eyes.
I feel like a lot of that's like a lot of people's favorite, including the Schmoes.
Yeah, I did like
Dawn of the Year. It made a lot of money. I don't know.
The top 10
where are these facts, Roger, keeps throwing out?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes made $708 million worldwide.
I remember
people did not like that movie. I'm sorry.
No. I think that's not true.
Tell us in the comments below. Did you like Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is awesome.
I'm sorry, Dawn. Yes. The names should be reversed.
It should be switched.
I'm talking about the sequel.
Dawn
not the
of
original.
The Planet of the Apes should have been the first movie, and Rise should have been the second movie.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is 90% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, so I think
some critical
people,
acclaim.
I think some people liked it. Right.
But yeah,
anyway,
Planet of the Apes, yeah, go ahead.
So to his credit, he makes an interesting point.
Yes. And
Batman has been cool.
I think both Rise and Batman Begins did the same thing for the each films, like just wiped away the previous stench of the last few films and brought something new. But the Batman trilogy will be classic forever. It'll live on forever. I don't know if Rise and Dawn, they're great movies, but I don't know if they'll be classics that we'll look back to.
Look, Dawn of the Dead.
You can't
also
say trilogy though. You can only go off Begins. That's the reboot.
Yeah, you have
that's
to go against Begins. About. Begins was pretty good. It was a good start. It was a good start.
Set up the time.
We were excited,
it
but
rose,
you know,
rose, it rose, and
right, it got better.
But I'd say
the second movie
Dawn is better than Rise. Dawn is better than Rise.
Yes,
Rise of the Batman of the Arkham Knight.
These guys all have Dawn and Rise somewhere in their.
Without Dawn of the Dead, you wouldn't have
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I like the counting better.
Without Dawn of the Dead, you might not even have Guardians of the Galaxy because James Gunn wrote Dawn of the Dead screenplay. He was the one who did that. Then he got to do Slither, and his career started taking off.
We're talking about the movie. Yeah. We're talking about the movies. And you've already lost just because your facts are all over the place. I'll be honest.
All right, Dawn of the Dead introduced
a
wider audience.
If you want to chime in on these two, you're welcome.
Richard Cheese got introduced to a wider audience thanks to Dawn of the Dead.
I love
Richard Cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. Where I'm challenging.
And it did inspire my actual zombie survival plan, which is to take a boat to Catalina, which didn't really work out for them. We don't know.
No.
But it's a great movie. I love both of them. Planet of the Apes just had such a high hurdle to jump, and I think it did it.
I think Batman had a huger hurdle to jump because of the last few films were so bad that people lost faith in Batman as a character on the screen.
Yeah, but people still loved Batman. They were going to see a Batman movie no matter what. They were at least out of curiosity.
Had Iron Man come out the same year? Or what, had there been
2008?
X-Men came out, right? There had been serious superhero films since
Batman and Robin.
Before Batman Begins, X-Men came out, right? Spider-Man came out.
Spider-Man.
Those were a little bit.
They were, but they weren't in the same vein.
This is a tough one, and I'm going off the arguments because Batman Begins is one of my favorite films.
Iron Man.
I actually like Batman Begins better than the other two, Dark Knight. I think Heath Ledger is why Dark Knight was so great.
Yes.
But anyway, that's my things aside. I got to go with Spencer in this argument because he makes a really strong point that I didn't think about, which is they had nothing to cling from but these really ridiculous movies.
Dr. Zaius.
But they get silly and they look so silly and there's so much against it. And they managed to make now two films in a row that I think, against Roger's opinion of not being good, but really strong emotional films truly rebooted that thing where I feel like, you know, the comics.
How hard
Dark
is
Knight,
it to make Batman cool?
Yeah,
not that
there
hard.
Were comics that people he adapted the comics. Like he really did.
How hard
adapt
is it
comics.
To make Planet of the Apes better after that Marky Mark disaster?
No disrespect. Exactly, it's coming off of that too. So no disrespect to Nolan. He did a fantastic job and did reinvent superhero, and it's classic, but for argument's sake, I'm going even against my own and saying Spencer won that. So good work. That was tough.
For the record, I was playing devil's advocate there because I do think Batman, but also my original choice was The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
We did make you change The Thing. I was like, no one knows The Thing.
Wait, it's a remake?
Thing.
Why did you guys make
it's a remake.
The Thing from another,
I just thought it was, has anyone seen the reboot?
The original, not the original. John Carpenter's 80s Thing is just an amazing movie. I'm just saying, I was playing
Roger. I'm fact checking that answer and saying I think that's a very good answer.
Thank you. If you actually search for best reboots, best remakes, The Thing is like the first thing that ever even comes up.
So that's how you find your answer.
What does Google say?
Too obscure. What was with the problem?
Too obscure.
Against these
God.
Two, I was like, come on, that was ridiculous.
You made a horror movie and you're calling that obscure?
Round five.
The fact that it's a reboot is obscure.
It's not a reboot. I don't think it was a close enough. It was technically, but
it was a remake.
Anyway, round five. epic Disney news was announced. Emma Watson was cast as Belle. Mm-hmm. OMG, guys.
Wow.
Hermione is going to now be Belle.
Hermione.
That's from my fan fiction, yeah.
In the live action Beauty and the Beast, this brings up a great question, which Doritos, at Doritos supporter, asks.
Sponsored?
Who should play the Beast?
What the hell is going on this episode?
This is an interesting one. Who should be the Beast against Emma Watson? Mm-hmm. I imagine there would be CGI, or maybe you'll put him in a rubber suit. This is up for you to tell me. Alicia, you're starting. Who would you cast as Beast?
Well, someone that you don't have to do too much CGI to turn into a Beast is The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh. Paging Nick Mundy.
Because he has the stature.
Yeah, is that Nick?
He feels like a beast. He also looks like he comes
pull
out.
Pull her face off.
Oh, it's Nick.
He also looks like he's come straight from a Disney animated movie. The way he's built, the way he looks. He's got that proportion. He's got the killer smile.
Nick has such a boner right
and
now.
The thing,
he's not more of a Gaston vibe on the
Yeah, Gaston. But the thing is, I think he could also play the prince really well because he has that charm. He is good looking. You would believe that a girl would fall for him, and you believe that a girl would fall for him as the Beast as well as the Prince. That's why I'm going with the Rock.
I do believe a girl would fall in love with him. That's a very true
thing. Yes, Roger. I do already.
There's never been a Prince who could bench press an SUV.
He's the Beast. He's the Beast. He's different.
No.
And then you don't have to do CGI, which you hate.
A lot of protein shakes in the Middle Ages. Yeah.
Who are you picking, Roger?
I'm going with Tom Hiddleston. This is a guy who could clearly play a prince, no problem whatsoever. We're not seeing enough of Tom Hiddleston, that's for sure. Everyone loves the guy, but he's just not in enough big movies and all. And this is a role that it really focuses on, like, a character with a strong duality, all right? We've got this guy who was a prince. We've got this total emotion because he gets turned into this beast. And if he doesn't find someone who loves him, he's going to have to remain a beast the entire time. And Tom Hiddleston, he can turn that evil switch on and that scary switch on just on a dime. And we saw him do it, like, you know, in The Avengers and stuff. When he's talking to Scarlett Johansson and all, and, you know, he just suddenly just turns on her and kind of makes her cry, but she was leading him on and all that. But anyway, the point is he can actually play these two characters extremely well, and I'd like to see him take it on.
Spencer.
Okay, well, talk about no CGI. My answer is Mickey Rourke, the wrestler.
No CGI as the Beast, but he can't be a prince.
But I think that it's more
important. That's what you need the CGI for.
It's more important to stick the role of the Beast to make this movie believable, because this works for the majority of the time on this repulsive man with this sweet, soft inside, and that is Mickey Rourke. He's had, in real life, like one of the biggest rises again of anyone's career. He's gone broke, he's had drug problems, he's come back, his own face is messed up.
Which sounds perfect for a Disney movie, doesn't it?
I think that for the role of the Beast, that this really works, and you want to believe that this sweet guy would be repulsive, that Emma would not want to, you know, make
I don't
want to
see them together. That's weird.
Emma Watson
and Mickey Rourke.
What I don't want to see, though...
No. I bet you he'd be into it, though.
He'd be into it.
Yeah, he really would.
He really would.
A couple responses to that. One, I don't want to see that together either. So you get a different guy when he transforms. He transforms into the Rock. He transforms into the
Top
Hat. Hold on.
What
you guys are proposing is two beautiful people with, like, a scar on their face. Like, oh, I'm not going to make out Tom Hiddleston. He's got, like, a weird hairy eyebrow. Like, or he's got a weird... The Rock is, like, a cleft palate. Like, no, these people are going to be good-looking
no matter what. Tom Hiddleston or The Rock, if you put them in Beast makeup, they're not going to be pretty. That's up to the costuming department.
They're
not
going to
be
stiff.
They're not going to be scary.
Yes, they can.
Mickey Rourke is scary as F. It's a story about what's really on the inside of a person, and Mickey Rourke fits that perfectly.
Look, I don't want to see...
I think he's scary on the inside, too.
Both of these men are giant...
He loves tiny dogs.
Men are giant beasts who I do not want to see with Emma. Tom, you could totally see doing it. They're closer age. Age range for one thing.
Yeah. Tom?
Tom is 32, 33.
I think he's older than that.
No,
yeah,
no,
I think he's older.
I've researched.
But I think
this.
We all agree we'd much prefer him kiss Emma
Tom
Watson than Mickey Rourke.
Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah. How old is Emma Watson? 20.
She's like 25, I think.
This is Hollywood. It doesn't matter.
I'm glad it's not creepy to ask that question. Anymore.
Yeah,
you guys are all
24.
Okay,
you guys are all hung up on the kiss, which is one creepy moment. But the story is about a really ugly, disfigured person that is falling in love or being put in the friend zone.
It's about a prince who's turned into an ugly, disfigured person and all that. And it's not about
Either Hemsworth is the prince. What? He turns into Mickey Rourke. And then he turns back into Hemsworth at the end. Who doesn't want to see that? He's a better actor than either of those two.
I do not
want to
see that. I can just call it now. I feel like it's pretty clear. And I think you're crazy, Spencer.
I want a good movie, not a Disney movie.
And I think you're crazy because Roger hit everything, I think, fairly the best. One, The Rock, you don't want the prince to bench press Jesse Vance, he said. This is a very valid point.
You want
to... You don't need CGI prince. For it. You shouldn't have CGI for the prince. Like, Tom Hiddleston is an actor. Like, he can act. Right?
Like, they're going to put, like, a weird mark on
the
his
eye. The duality
that
you said.
They're going to make him a beast.
Tom Hiddleston's a very not going to just, like, you know, a great actor we don't see enough.
They're not gonna
Roger's
put...
on the board with a point!
Yay!
I would contend, Roger, though. You said there's never been a prince that could bench press an SUV. I would say Prince Adam from He-Man.
No. Prince Adam, it's only He-Man who can do the bench press.
But he looks the same. He's got the same...
This is a debate for another time, but I totally... The one thing about He-Man that has always driven me nuts is we never see him turn back into Adam. It's just like, he's like, all right, well, I guess my powers are worn off or something.
But you look at any Disney movie, the prince is always...
Don't go away. Yeah. Well, I don't know how to use his muscles.
Where'd I leave my tunic?
All right, round six. So Roger still has a shot here. Now remember, the winner, the two winners with the most points goes to the speed round in round eight. So be prepared. It's anybody's game still.
This is my round.
Round six. And right now the score, just for everyone at home, we have 3 for Spencer, correct me if I'm wrong, 2 for Alicia, and 1 for Roger.
All right.
I'm correct. Okay. Right. At some point we'll get a scoreboard going. Round six. Since a lot of you are gearing up to watch the Super Bowl today, or you've saved us until after the Super Bowl,
Magic Mountain.
it's the best day to go to theme parks today. Yeah. Grant Tabard on Twitter asked us, what's the best sports movie of all time? We don't usually handle sports on here, but I think Super Bowl Sunday, it's fitting. What's the best sports movie? And we're going to start with you, Roger.
The best sports movie of all time is Rocky IV. There is no question about this, because this is a sports movie that actually gets people who are not sports fans to watch it. You see that trailer, you want to watch this movie. It doesn't matter whether you're into boxing or not. You want to see this happen.
Can you just remind, I know it, but for those at home, just walk me through Rocky IV.
Oh, I'm
please
believe
do.
Believe me.
We open on the Russian tundra.
Right. So Rocky's best friend, Apollo Creed.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Rocky's best friend, Apollo Creed, wants to get back into boxing. This giant Russian mammoth champion comes to America saying he wants to start fighting, so Apollo Creed sees this as, like, his golden opportunity. They have this exhibition match together, which is preceded by a performance by James Brown, no less, which is incredible in its own right, seeing Carl Weathers dancing with him in full American Uncle Sam gear. He gets in the ring, starts doing okay at first, and we're like, all right, no big deal. Then suddenly, Ivan Drago, the Russian, just unloads on him. Just the hardest punches we've seen in a boxing movie. Let alone most movies.
He takes down.
He kills Apollo Creed with one punch.
Very unexpected. Yes.
And it's just
a
like
star at
out
the time
of the blue
of the franchise.
Right.
Yes.
So Rocky.
7 montages later, Rocky wins.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Rocky sees this happen.
Revenge.
And he goes to Russia to fight not for money but for revenge
and to end the Cold War.
Yes, I'm going to cover much more of this.
All right.
Let's
so we
get
got
someone
it.
Else.
Spencer.
Rudy.
Rocky. Yeah.
Rudy is the best moment of any sports movie of all time, is the climax of Rudy. But I just love this, that it's really, it's like about this 5-foot-nothing kid who, the bad guy isn't Ivan Drago. It's not some cartoon character pulled out of Sylvester Stallone's also a drug-addled mind. But it's about him against himself. It's about this kid that has no business playing football, much less at Notre Dame, and it's really more in tune with what sports are about, which is just never giving up and perseverance and overachieving beyond what you're capable of.
I've heard that story before. Oh, it was called Rocky.
Was Rocky a real guy? No, because Rudy Rudiger was.
Rocky was.
You're right. I'm sorry about that. Rocky Balboa.
Careful.
He was. But they're both like, actually, Rudy isn't really, they take some liberties too. But I think that this is so cool how the bad guy in this movie is Rudy himself. It's just a kid who has no reason being there, but oh my god, when he gets to that climax and Jon Favreau's like, "You're the wild man now!" And they lift him on their shoulders and carry him off, there's not a... more manly tears have been shed in that moment than in World War II or at any point in time. Like, it is the best climactic movie moment of all time, and it happens to be in a sports movie.
Well, I'm going to say Field of Dreams is the best sports movie of all time, because the best sports movies are not actually about sport themselves. They're about much more and things that you can relate to if you're not a sports lover like me. I don't care about baseball. I don't know anything about it at all, but I love Field of Dreams because it is about idealism. It's about the, you know, your father-son relationship, which you can relate to even if you are a girl. The playing catch with your dad at the end, that kills me every single time. It's about, yeah, hearkening back to a better time. And the idea of baseball for me growing up in Australia was always that it's the American dream. Mm. And that seems like such a lovely thing to do, a lovely pastime and a lovely experience that you can share with your family. And I never cry in movies, but Field of Dreams gets me every single time. So that's why I think it's the best sports movie ever. Mm. So it makes a non-sports lover really get into it.
If you build it.
Stop it. Stop it.
Rude. What do you guys think? Rude. All right, fight.
That gives me chills.
Look, I'm just going to paint a picture for you here. All right. This is a beautiful
Rocky
picture.
Rocky IV is ridiculous. Yeah.
It's so over the top, but yeah, I love it.
Exactly. You want to talk about something that brings tears?
Well,
something that brings
tears. We know
tears
how great it is. I don't want you to read your list. No. I want you to. Why does Rocky beat these two? That's the battle.
I'm okay. Going through this. Look, I worked
don't
hard on this.
Don't give me a Nick Money list.
I never brought in notes.
Don't give me a Nick Money list. And all the movies great.
I'm not giving you a list. Come on, look. I worked hard on
that
this.
Captain America list. That was the worst.
Hilarious.
Seriously, just for
died
you.
Laughing.
All right,
we'll
look.
Say it.
So we have the best training montage in the history of film.
Oh come on! It's crazy.
All right, I want you to fight these movies. Yeah. I don't want you to tell. Yeah. I know why
we
the movie's
Rocky's
great.
Good.
We all have agreed it's great. Why is it better than these two movies?
Because it has this training montage. We have Rocky.
You're like eight training montage.
You're like,
how many does
you're basically happen? Saying, you're basically saying, don't talk about your movie against these movies.
Compare it to these.
Yes.
I'm telling you why it's better. Because it inspires
people. Doesn't Rudy
people.
Have a montage? Doesn't Field of Dreams have a montage?
Sure.
Building
Look, it's a sports
building.
Movie. Yeah.
Look, it inspires people. The soundtrack.
Gonna have a montage.
The soundtrack. Yes.
Even Rocky had a montage.
This inspired all future montages. Look.
Rocky
not
had a
the
montage.
Best thing in
okay,
the
I'm
movie.
Talking. I'm talking against the movies here, against these other
yes,
movies.
Let's hear that.
Rocky's music alone inspires people. You've worked out to Rocky's music.
That's
as,
not Rocky IV.
Yeah, you actually
all the time.
Yes,
go Rocky, to your mic. Go to
workout.
Your mic.
Rocky IV music. look, you have Burning Heart and Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Hearts on Fire by John
He's
Cafferty.
Do it.
Living in America by James. I'm doing it. I don't care. I worked hard on this. Look, and look, if the trailer can even get you so excited, you see two gloves explode. But the most
Doesn't
important thing about Rocky, the most important thing about Rocky is it ended the Cold War. Rocky IV ended the Cold War. Gorbachev actually attended the fight in the movie, and we
was
see
actually Gorbachev?
That was not really him.
Not really him. No, no, it's a fake. I'm saying
like Saddam
in the
story, Hussein was not in Hot Shots.
Right,
too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
great
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
But no, he ends the Cold War, and he turns a hostile crowd. Completely for him. And
okay.
He basically
Damn.
Makes everyone root for America and him. And it makes you feel like you can do anything. Rocky climbs
okay,
a mountain.
Okay, I gotta get through the other people's thoughts. And Dan, quickly. Yes.
Roger, Eye of the Tiger is not from Rocky IV. It's from Rocky III.
Ooh. No, it's in. It's on the soundtrack.
That's
it's on the soundtrack.
All about.
It's on the soundtrack.
All right.
I was talking about
He's
the soundtrack.
He's reading his lists, which thank you for preparing. But why are your films better than
so,
the other two?
Yeah, to compare our two, we both like them for the same reasons, is that they're about something
the
more
heart.
Than the sport. They're about the heart. They're about the relationship. And the universal struggle that anyone can relate to. Why I don't like Field of Dreams is it's about baseball. And baseball is the most boring sport. I actually do like sports, except for baseball, which is more of a human aquarium where you just watch stats go up and down. And I just can't get by. It's an inherently not cinematic sport.
I disagree.
I just disagree. You're like seeing this through the rose-colored glasses of someone that didn't grow up in America
yes.
and have to sit through 3 to 4 hours of baseball games.
So I've been
up.
To a baseball game since I've been here, and I love it
oh,
because it's
I
so American.
Baseball.
It's such a great American pastime, and it stood for the 60s idealism in an 80s world. I love that.
Football and Rudy, by extension, manages to mix the heart
football
and the
like,
drive and the intensity
the
with something that's
people
like...
people in the world.
There's some actual believable football scenes in that movie, more or less.
If and it was an Australian football better, movie, maybe.
It's a better sports movie than Field of Dreams, which is really just a drama.
Well, that's it. That, but it's, no, it's about more than just sport, and that's why I love it.
So is Rudy.
So is Rocky. Rocky is more.
And he's definitely more than boxing.
Exactly. It is far beyond it. And look, guys, if I can change...
You can change.
And you can change. Everybody can change.
Well, so I have the struggle of you both. Yours is... I'm not disputing your film. It's a great film.
That's the
but
question.
But Rocky 1 is as well. Like, I mean, there's several of them. Mm-hmm. But the only point is you both have these really emotional, strong... Mm-hmm. They're not just all about the sports.
What you relate to. And I relate to the family aspect.
And mine is based on a real character, and yours is a weird ghost fantasy.
But to make that work... Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, it's
that argument. You believe
that
it.
That is impressive that they made it work.
That it really gets to you, even though it is ridiculous on paper.
But it's not really a sports movie. I guess that gets into that
it
argument
is.
That we don't want to have.
It's,
but
it's a genre of a sports movie. Come on,
Dan. Is Field of Dreams a sports movie?
Yeah.
Alicia wins! You got me in your last point. I was like, that's what I needed. I needed one more little piece of argument.
All right.
Also, Roger, you're right. You're right about Eye of the Tiger. It is also in Rocky IV. So.
Thank you.
Oh!
Correction retracted.
Dan Cam just Dan
Double
Cam
points.
Himself.
Correction retracted.
Well, I wouldn't expect much from the Coward Cam. Not defending his title 2 weeks in a row here.
Woo, yeah. Well,
that's hashtag how we build hashtag Coward
we're building
Cam.
Up, we're building up. That's nope, not him. Nope. He would be here if he
hashtag
was.
Coward Cam.
He did not. That was producer's calls. We decided to have him sit. So mm-hmm. we can build up who, if you win today, you can take
it. I can't
but
now.
You gotta win, Roger.
I can't.
Round seven.
Yeah, if I may say, yeah. Unless Roger takes Devil's Advocate and wins on this round, he's mathematically eliminated from going
high stakes.
To the speed round.
High stakes.
Very good point. Would you like to take Devil's Advocate?
Might as well. Why not?
This is an important one. This is a big one. This is probably our title bout. You might have been waiting this whole movie show just for this one. We decide that after our show, so we don't know yet what's on our thumbnail. But this question is tied into our honest trailer for this week, which happens to star Chris Pratt. That's your tease.
You could say it's awesome.
Ooh, oh, well, thanks, Spencer. Yeah, I guess he's only been in like two movies, so it's not that hard to figure out. Anyway, Chris Pratt, now the man in charge of Hollywood, it seemingly, mm-hmm. Disney wants him to be the next Indiana Jones. Well, I want each of your thoughts on this casting of Chris Pratt. We're readjusting this question, which I think is coming on screen. So Alex Draken question asked us on Twitter, asked, do we want an Indiana Jones reboot? Everyone doesn't want a reboot.
Yes,
well.
I do.
I do now.
Oh.
Okay. I am so
great.
Excited.
Let's do it.
I cannot wait for the next
All right,
Indiana
fine.
Jones.
We were going to say, do we want it with Chris Pratt? I think that we'll let both things in. Do we want an Indiana Jones reboot?
Yes.
And do we like Chris Pratt? So we're starting with you, Spencer.
So yeah, the question I prepared for was more Chris Pratt-based, but I don't care. I can argue for why we should not want an Indiana Jones reboot. And that's basically, we need to let things die. We don't need to dig up the corpse of Indiana Jones just because Chris Pratt is a popular actor and Disney has the rights. There's no reason for another Indiana Jones movie to exist beyond the fact that he's a hot commodity right now and that they could.
Hot property!
That we have already driven this franchise into the ground to such a shameful place that we should just let it die. And that's really the...
Alicia, thoughts? Do we want a reboot?
No, we do not want a reboot because I don't want to ruin the three movies any
three
further than
Indiana
it has.
Indiana Jones movies.
I'm refusing to acknowledge the fourth
Indiana
movie
Jones
because
movies.
It was so bad. But the three was such a part of my childhood and it's always special. And I rewatched them not very long ago and I still love these movies. So it doesn't need to be rebooted. There's nothing that needs to be fixed about the movies. If you want to use the name for marketing, then do a spin-off or do something completely different with it, but don't do a reboot. However,
so like James Bond, you're saying?
Yeah, like James Bond is technically
a reboot. Can we consider those reboots?
I don't know.
No, right?
Different stories or episodes.
They've
maybe.
Always really. Switched Bonds. I mean, they've been doing that forever. So.
I think that the Daniel Craig ones kind of, they kind of marketed themselves as a reboot because they rebooted the character, but generally, no, it's just somebody else takes
right.
somebody
but
else
just
takes
do a spin-off.
Right.
But if you have to do Indiana Jones and this is the world that we live in, that Hollywood is just going to keep remaking things because it's easy to market to places like China and Russia who already know the name, then you should go with someone like Chris Pratt because he has the charm. He's pretty much Harrison Ford already. Guardians of the Galaxy, he played Han Solo. And when I spoke to him for Guardians of the Galaxy, I said, who's your favorite character, Han Solo or Indiana Jones? Straight away, he said, Indiana Jones. And because he has that passion for it, then if we have to do it, I think he's the right man for the job. He's got the charm and the good looks, and I'd like to see him in a fedora.
Roger, go ahead.
Guys, I am so excited for Indiana Jones.
To be rebooted?
Oh, boy. I cannot wait for them to reboot this
movie. So be clear, Roger is playing devil's advocate because he does not believe this. And if he wins, he gets double points.
We were talking about movies that make us cry. Just thinking about a reboot, it's bringing tears to my eyes right now.
Why? The whip is back. The whip in the hat.
So look, it's a lot of fun to say, you know, Indiana Jones ended with The Last Crusade, but it didn't. It didn't. They made the Crystal Skull. And that left a real bad taste in our mouth, and they made it many years later. So the current younger generation, that's a lot of their impressions of Indiana Jones. A lot of them have not seen the earlier ones, so they think they're just these crappy movies. If you see Crystal Skull, you're not going to care to go watch the other ones if that's like your introduction to Indiana Jones. Yeah. So that scares me.
But no one.
So,
let me.
I'm talking about this awesome movie. That's gonna
He's
happen.
Got a point. Awesome. Some people base Star Wars on The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Right. So you know, I think there's nothing wrong. They have nowhere to go but up from Crystal Skull. And you know, Chris Pratt, you know, he is the best of the people out there right now for the Indiana Jones role. I mean, he has the looks for it. He's got the charisma. He's got the fan base and everything, just like Harrison Ford did when he was going Indiana Jones. So you put him in this movie, you do a good job, you totally reboot it and just kind of set these new origins for Indy, have him go on a brand new adventure, and you can get kids and everyone interested in Indiana Jones again. Then they will go back and watch the original trilogy, which is absolutely timeless. It's great.
Guys, Roger's stepping up. I'm impressed.
That's great on your...
All right, so guys, fighting Roger. Why is he wrong?
Yeah, I just think we're about to get... I'm not sick of Chris Pratt right now. I love him to death. He's amazing. We're about to get really sick of Chris Pratt. He's about to be in every single movie that comes out in the next 2 or 3 years. You can see what he's got coming up, but I know there's Guardians 2. There's going to be Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something. What was it called? I wrote down. Is a Cowboy Ninja Viking. He's going to be in.
Okay. Sounds cool.
Lego movie. Yeah, Lego movie good. 2. And he's going to be Indiana Jones.
All right, Lego
Enough!
Movie.
Let someone else have a role.
Voices are fine. That's not going to like make you feel oversaturated with him. We had
Parks and Rec.
Look, after Indiana Jones comes out, maybe we'll be at the point of oversaturation. But right now, we're not at that point.
He's got, Alicia, you like Chris Pratt, but you don't
I
want
like
to reboot.
Chris Pratt,
so,
but I don't want to reboot.
Why don't you want to reboot? Why is Roger wrong?
The three films are great. They should re-release the three films and put them on. They're timeless. They were made to feel like a throwback to the 30s serials, and they have that great nostalgic feel already. They don't need to do it again.
Yeah,
and what would you want from the reboot? Would you want the same three? Movies
again?
Fighting Nazis
because
in the 1930s.
We want a reboot, something completely different.
So don't call it Indiana Jones.
He doesn't have to be...
call him Montana
maybe,
Steve.
Look, how about
something
this?
Else.
Yeah,
maybe he's searching for the lost city of Atlantis. That would be a cool thing. It's this big mystical
That's
thing.
That's not you don't Indiana have Jones.
Why not?
For weird, forgotten stuff.
You can go on total adventures. You don't have to have Nazis involved or anything like that. Exactly. You don't have to.
I gotta say, Roger, you pulled it out there. I mean, there was a whole TV show, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, which proved you can do fun installments of the show. There are books. There are games. It's an iconic character.
I just don't want to be explaining to my children when they say Indiana Jones, oh, do you mean Chris Pratt or Harrison Ford? I'm going to have to have that conversation.
And I don't want to explain to my children, oh, do you mean Crystal Skull? No.
Why can't they do a new episode like they do with Star Wars Episode 7, rather than redoing the three?
There you go.
Again.
Well, you would. It would be Shia LaBeouf. Is that what you guys want?
No. He adopted a new kid.
That was a dodge bullet.
If they were to go on that track, you know, that's where it would go, and then...
Can
that's
you just
why,
have him in for a
why
second
Chris
and then
Pratt,
go?
I think if
he's
I'm
too
so
goofy for Indiana
Shia
Jones. It should be Bradley Cooper, but that was the argument I prepped for, and we're having this one. It's a given that we shouldn't redo Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
I can't believe we have to argue that.
Bradley Cooper does not have that same charisma as Chris Pratt. He does not have the face for Indiana Jones, and a lot of people are not on board with Bradley now after the Sniper movie. So
I'm fine with that.
He got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people
I know that.
Say his performance
I'm just saying.
You were up against the wall, Roger, and you pulled it off.
You
did it. I'm giving you the 2 points.
Don't agree, but you did.
I didn't think you'd do it. You pulled the devil's advocate. That gives him 2 points.
It's the first time the three-way
ever won a devil's advocate.
Yeah.
You get 2 points. Wow. So that just made you and Alicia tied.
Woo.
Spencer, all right?
That means
we're
all teamed up on
Spencer.
Oh, it's a sorry. It's a three-way tie. Okay. So how do we figure this out? crap. Well, I have a couple tiebreakers here. Let's do it. All right, speed rounds.
How does this work?
Are they either or? Like, what are we going to do?
I think we're going to pick the two. I have two tiebreakers here.
All right.
You know, whoever gets it first moves on to the last round. And then the next two, whoever gets that moves on that with them. Yes?
Whoa.
That's how we're going to do it. The rules are changed as we go. That's how movie fights work.
Wait. So
this
explain
is
this
three
again.
Person Rogers speed round. This is a three-person speed round, which we've never done here on movie fights.
Yeah.
We are going to ask you a question. You're going to have to answer quickly. If you all say the same thing, it's whoever answered first.
Right.
If you don't, and you said something else, you can quickly do it, but we have to do it quickly because I don't want to sit here for 3 minutes doing a speed round. We have to do it fast. Everyone understand the rules?
Yes.
Speed round. Michael Hill on at the Doctor 2012 asks, best movie voice, Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones?
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, and then Morgan Freeman. You're out, Spencer. James Earl Jones, and then you're answering why Morgan Freeman?
Darth Vader. I mean, how much more iconic can you get than Darth Vader's voice? It's incredible. It's something that people talk about. You never see his face the entire movie. It is all James Earl Jones because of that.
Alicia, Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman has one of the most iconic voices ever in movie history. He can do God. He's red. He makes you believe in hope. I want him to do my voicemail. Because he has such a great voice, and he has such a commanding presence. You hear it, and you feel comforted. And he's narrated many films because he has such a great voice.
I want all those
voice.
Things too, but he's I gotta so say Darth Vader because yeah. Darth
the
Vader
God.
Wins.
Come on, God.
That was close. Rogers in the finals. Right. Wow, from behind, so he gets an extra point.
So did these points count toward his final total?
Yes.
Okay.
Rogers
really?
Gets a point, and now we have one more speed round to get see who is going to challenge Roger.
Okay.
It's just between you two. Oh, Roger, okay. you're right. safe.
Gotcha. Bring it.
Are we ready? Michael Wheeler at O that Michael Wheeler, Mr. I'm sorry, Michael Wheeler at O that Mr. Wheeler on Twitter asks. Best Michael Mann directed film that isn't Heat.
Fuck!
Collateral.
You have to wait till the answer. I think he can still say it, right?
He can say it. He just jumped. I mean, Alicia's answer counts. You have to just still answer
what did, you had quickly. Sorry, what did you say?
Collateral.
You said Collateral?
I would have said Collateral. That was my second answer. Yeah, you got it.
Alicia's in!
Wow. Nicely done.
Right from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, bummer.
Nice.
That's how it works.
Speedrun's my Achilles heel.
We were so close.
Yeah.
So now are we going through like a full speed round of like five questions or whatever?
So now we have five quick speed round questions.
So this is just best of five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best of five. We have five.
They're tied. Best of five.
You guys are tied. What is the tie? So we understand three. It's five, right? Or one?
Well, they both was. So it's four to four.
Four to four. Yeah, we're going in on this.
Five. Yep.
Man,
you'll help me keep score on this.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Here we go. Round speed round. We all understand this works. You just did one.
Same way.
Okay. Once again, we've asked this before, but a movie is playing on cable. Which one should we watch? Beverly Hills Cop 2 or Ghostbusters 2?
Ghostbusters 2.
Oh.
Get the point. Ready? Number two.
I was trying to look, but no.
Hollywood's best Tom.
Tom Hanks.
Tom.
Bergeron.
Tom Hardy.
Why?
Ooh. Tom Hanks is such an incredible actor. He makes you believe that life is more than just a box of chocolates. He can carry Castaway just by himself with a volleyball. He makes you feel something. He's so famous, but you still believe him in every single role.
Roger.
Tom Hardy has not seen his best days behind him like Tom Hanks has. Tom Hardy is...
Captain Phillips.
Tom Hardy is still moving forward. A lot of people didn't care for Dark Knight Rises, but Bane, everyone loves Bane. He's a fun character. He just did the movie, the driving one. I'm totally blanking on the name right now.
Well, that's not helping you. Tom Hanks!
Yay!
Damn.
All right, we're tied again, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Number
Tom
three.
Hanks was right.
That's tough. Yeah. Number three. Which movie star would be more fun to share an Uber with? Meg Ryan or Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon.
Meg Ryan.
Why?
Okay.
Okay, Reese Witherspoon has a dark side to her. She may come across as very, like, lovely, but she's actually got some fun to her. We see that in Wild. Plus, she's quite sweet. I don't know. I'm just keep going like this.
Meg Ryan is actually sweet. She was America's sweetheart, whereas Reese Witherspoon was actually pulled over by police, and she's just, like, unleashing, like, she gets
That's
pulled
she
off
gets
by the cops. She gets pulled off by the cops, and you're left there. You're just stranded, and you're talking about getting a ride
That's
with an
why
Uber.
She's fun!
Reese
Witherspoon.
She's more fun.
So great, I don't get a ride.
She wasn't pulled over. Her husband was. Yeah.
She still went crazy.
Wow.
She did
that.
Not.
That would definitely
her
be
man, her man stood
you
behind
just gave a point
she got,
to her. All right. Oh one. God. Alicia's winning by one.
Oh, no. Wait. So who gets that? Who wins that?
Alicia gets the point. Alicia gets the point.
I made a wake up.
What's the best Christmas movie that's okay to watch during the rest of the year?
Christmas Vacation.
The answer was Die Hard.
The answer is always Die Hard.
Elf and Christmas Vacation. Why Elf?
Elf is so much fun. Every time I watch it, it makes me laugh, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it's around Christmas. It's just Will Ferrell gives such a good performance. I think it's one of the best comedies ever, not just Christmas movies.
Christmas Vacation is the iconic Christmas movie, and it doesn't really matter that it is just Christmas. You have Chevy Chase, you have the whole Griswold clan, you have their neighbors. Chevy Chase coming out looking like a chainsaw-wielding maniac. I mean, this is a movie that has all the best things about the vacation films all wrapped into one thing, and I can watch it anytime, and it does air during the regular year all the time.
Oh, that's tough, actually. Mm. I need some help on this one, guys.
Well, it would decide the winner if I went one way or the other, and I think I should recuse myself.
Yeah,
I
it's on you, Andy.
My opponent for the title bout, so I'm going to
recuse
myself.
It's on you, man.
Myself.
I'm not taking
Spencer,
this one.
Any thoughts?
Elf is so quotable.
They are both quotable.
Yeah, very quotable.
Well, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
I know it should be Die Hard, but...
It was supposed to be Die Hard.
It was. Yeah. It was going to say, who said Die Hard first was going to win?
I know. That's why I didn't go Die Hard.
This is the fourth question, right?
Same argument.
This is the fourth question?
Yes.
Okay.
And if Alicia wins it, she wins the game. And I'm going to go off of what you said. You said it plays more, but I feel like I see them both playing more.
I say all the time.
It does.
And I feel like Christmas is in the title of your movie. And
modern
she made a
retro.
Point of Elf is not really about
Christmas. It's not
Christmas.
About Christmas.
It's about
yes, it is. It's
coming
about
Elf wins!
Hey!
It was Die Hard, guys. It was a tough one. It was Die Hard.
You How did I forget that?
Wow, Alicia pulls through at the very end there. That was a very intense battle. Wow. Thank you, everybody. Yeah. Alicia will be back. Make sure we free your schedule. We will tell you. You're going to come back to take that champion on against Comic Book Girl 19. I think, is that the first? No.
I'm going
to
fail.
One of the first wins on a first round, I think she...
Boom.
We have two in a row now.
I thought I was doing really badly.
So I have two main competitors here.
I got to start training now because I have two worthy competitors.
They're very good. I want to scare you.
Hashtag coward cam.
Okay. I promise some teasing. So next week's Movie Fights to Help, we have your most requested guest ever, I think.
Far.
Is that fair?
By far.
We'll be doing a special episode of Movie Fights.
Just Nick Mundy.
Jeremy Johns is coming next week to Movie Fights.
Yeah.
We're very excited to have him.
Awesome-tacular.
We don't know who he's battling yet. Who do you want to see him battle? Not Dan. I think we're going to keep Dan out. Well, maybe not. Tell us who you want to see him battle us on Twitter. Hashtag Twitter at ScreenJunkies or at Andy Signor. Tell us who you want to see. Also in the comments on YouTube, who would you see him want to see him battle? Because he lives in Seattle, he can't do this regularly, so the title bout's not in it. It's just going to be a fun battle with the most requested guests we have. The week after will be the title bout with Dan Merle takes on you, Alicia, and Comic Book Girl 19 to see who is going to keep that belt. So very exciting stuff to come.
And when you tear that belt from his cold, dead hands... I want you to come back on the show every week and defend it like a true champion.
Well, no, we won't let her do that because we want a build up. We want the people. So thank you, everybody. Make sure you please check us out on iTunes, rate, comment, subscribe. Also on YouTube, if you're listening on iTunes, youtube.com/screenjunkies. Popcorn Talk Network, so many great shows there. Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News, Jedi Alliance.
Profiles.
The Schmoes Knows Profiles. Schmoes Know Podcasts. Go check them out, please. Links are in the description. Please, please, please go support them. Also, I want to make sure you guys know on break.com/movies you can watch full-length streamed movies. There are ones that are Screen Junkies approved. Please go check out a movie and go tell them that Screen Junkies sent you. We want to go support that. It's a very fun thing that we are involved in to help get some fun free movies out for you guys to see.
Is Halloween 3 on there?
I maybe go check it out. I don't know. I think a lot of the Leprechaun movies are stuff. I want to thank our panelists here. Spencer Gilbert at Spencer J. Gilbert, thanks so much.
Thanks, man. I'm clearly better in writing than I am in person.
Very close. Alicia Malone, wow, you killed it. At Alicia Malone, correct? Anything you'd like to plug?
I'm sweating. Just watch Profiles on Popcorn Talk Network. We're doing Tom Hanks next week.
Oh, okay. So it was on your brain.
Yeah, it was on my brain.
Roger Barr at iMockery. I'm so sorry. You were close. Thanks. You pulled it ahead. Anything you'd like to plug?
Follow me on Twitter, at iMockery. Go to iMockery.com. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/Roger Barr. And also, hashtag give Roger Ecto Cooler.
I'm on board with that.
On the Dan Cam, back in and in charge, it's Dan Merle at Merle Dan.
At Merle Dan. I look forward to seeing Roger and Nick in the audience for the first title bout.
You're welcome to come watch.
Can we do
Royal
this?
Rumble. Right, and I'd like Royal to Rumble. Say, yeah. I'd like to say happy birthday to my mom.
Aww.
Very nice. Happy birthday, Mrs. Merle. And please follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Andy Signor. I am going to tease something that I probably am not supposed to, but I'm just going to because I'm sort of the boss. We have an epic collab coming on this week's Honest Trailer.
You can call it epic.
It's epic. Mm. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Andy Signor, and I'll give you the tease. Because I'm a jerk.
Who's the pander?
I'm pandering.
Yeah, right.
But seriously, this was good. Come check it out. And obviously, please tell us what you want to see on the show, who you want us to get to come fight, all those fun things. And please also hashtag speed round. I want some more speed round questions in Twitter. So all you fans out there, send us a bunch. You guys aren't allowed to check them, but just send them so we have some options. Thanks so much, everybody. See you next week. Hope the Super Bowl was fun, and hopefully our show was better. Have a great one. See you next week.
Watch this inside of the Super Bowl.
Every podcast we put on YouTube comes with this kick-ass graphic listing all the topics your favorite Screen Junkies podcasters are talking about. If you click the topics, you can skip around and choose your own podcast battle royale. Go ahead, try them all. If you haven't already, subscribe to Screen Junkies on YouTube to join us for future fights. Or if you prefer to listen on iTunes, click the logo to download an audio version. Lastly, please support our friends at the Popcorn Talk Network for more awesome shows.